Today, it's Edwin's Monday evening property rant. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. And just before I start, a quick reminder that tomorrow, 8pm Sydney on DFA Live, Damien Klassen from Nucleus Wealth will be joining me to discuss the latest in the financial markets. And of course, the recent highs beg some interesting questions about where the markets are going to go next. So join me, ask a question live, or you can send a question through via the DFA blog beforehand, 8pm Sydney tomorrow. Today, as it's Monday, I have Edwin with me once again. Hi, Edwin, how are you going?
Good day, Fei Choi, Martin. Good day, Fei Choi. Happy Lunar New Year, mate.
Yeah, the year of the ox, right?
It's the year of the ox. It's heads down, tail up, and work hard because I think 2022 is going to be a bugger of a year to get through if the way things are going, what's going on keeps on going to the end of this year. I don't know how much more people could tolerate.
That's a good question. There's certainly plenty going on. And, Melbourne locked down again for a few days just to keep everybody interested.
Well, that's right. And look at the weather. The weather patterns are changing. It's a wet summer and it's cold. I've got my winter gear on again. I'm optimistic nevertheless, Martin. You got to be optimistic on DFA, as you know. It's not all doomsday. I'm optimistic, and I'm thinking that the heat's coming off the property market as well as the heat's come off off the season. So we'll see what happens over the next 6 weeks. It's going to be interesting. Numbers are lower than 2020. But nevertheless, the interesting part of it, Martin, is that the sale by way of auction, which is the narrative that everybody hypes on, it's almost identical to last year. Last year we had the pandemic. So the big question is, as you and I always ask, is what's happening with the numbers? For me, it just means one thing. My industry, the real estate industry, is in the world of shit.
Yeah. And just to underscore that, right, what we're saying is that the listings are running relatively parallel to last year. The auction clearance rates, maybe a little higher, maybe a little lower, depending on how you calculate them. But the volume of auctions cleared, precisely the same as last year.
That's right. It's uncanny. And yet there's supposed to be a lot of confidence in the market. But look, we'll see how it all plays out now. There's so much stimulus in there being piled on by the government, so much support by the banks, and just to keep things ticking along and keep mortgages ticking along and suck more people in. At the end of the day, as I always keep on saying, you've got to be wary of what you buy, where you buy, when you buy, and because you make money when you buy, not when you sell. Also, don't pay above the odds. But we're going to unpack that. As I say, numbers don't lie. Selling agents do, and so does the mainstream media. So we'll unpack that by what I mean by don't pay over the odds, because and don't fall into the narrative, this emotion. We got to detach ourselves. Look, even as bearish as I am, as hard as I am with regard to negotiating hard with selling agents, sometimes you can get caught up in this. In the emotion, and on a daily basis, my team, when we get together and we talk about it, and Dusty and Evan are now in the part of the new team. They've got a Twitter handle as well, Martin. Plug that away. I think they're going to get more followers than what I have, and they're not going to hold back. But we got to speak to each other and continue to detach ourselves from all the emotion that's happening out there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I think Dusty is really going to be way ahead of you. No doubt about that. I mean, she's a finger on the pulse, right?
She's going to put some stuff out there pretty soon with regards to Tesla's been called in by you know, this is some of the stuff that she's been getting from the WeChat chatterers and the, you know, and Chinese whispers. Tesla's been called in to give an account to six different departments over in China. So let's see what's happening there. That's going to be very, very interesting. I mean, that's just off the cuff. I mean, I'm sure, you know, she's a bit of information she just fed to me just before the podcast. She said, just put it out there because I'm going to go crazy with it.
Okay. Well, just a reminder, it's the year of the ox, not the year of the cat, right?
Well, yeah, don't say that too loudly, Martin. Don't say that too loudly because they're convinced it's the year of the meow. So are convinced it's a time, you know, in history.
Absolutely. Well, look, let's talk numbers, right? Because there's some really, really interesting stuff going about, right? And in fact, again, kudos to our followers. They really are throwing a lot of really useful information, really, which underscores what we've been saying. So, you know, folks, if you want to, you know, feed more information to us so that we can discuss it, always open to that. But this is really interesting story, isn't it?
Oh, look, this is a very, very interesting story. And this plays in the hands of what I keep on saying, that the selling agents are going to get themselves into a world of caca when they underquote, when they start putting out silly numbers, silly figures that don't even compare with last year's quarter pricing, the way below, and people are just going to get more and more fed up. But this is how it plays against the agents that play this silly game of quote it low and watch it go. So if you put the first screen up, our viewers can we'll start telling the story. So this is an inquiry that one of our followers made with regard to a property in December 2020, and he sent me the screenshots of the conversation between himself and the selling agent. And the guide that was given to him over the phone was 1.25 to 1.3. Obviously, even at that time, he thought he was a little bit light. And then he got put back. Yeah, he got put up with an auction guide of 1.5. The auction guide was revised, but then strangely, and this is in Thorn Lee, the agent then pulls the guide down to 1.1 mark. I mean, I don't know what was going on there, but to go high. But then again, I have seen that myself with regard to my inquiries, how agents pull the guides down from, which I'll share also another property in Linfield, where agent pulls the guide down a couple of weeks before the actual auction to obviously spur up more interest. And this is where it kicks the agent in the backside, because he goes to market with a new guide of 1.1. Obviously, our follower queries that whole the whole scenario. He follows it up and questions him on it. And lo and behold, on the 18th of January of this year, guess what, Martin? The property sells for just over 1.1. So this is what I say to our viewers and our followers, and that is if agents are guiding low figures, just because there's a lot of people there doesn't mean that, one, that they're going to be buying. Two, there's a lot of people watching to see what's going on with the market, to see whether or not they're going to put their properties on the market. And three, you know, going lower than the actual guide, make them work for it, because that in itself changes the dynamics of the auction, regardless of the fact that some auctioneers won't take a lower bid below guides. But then again, there's the other side that will, and then it's game on, and then it's all about strategy and how you how you put in the bids, when to come in, how to come in, what percentages you go up, and so forth, and you start picking apart on your opponents. But this look, it's one of those things, Martin, that more and more I know that our followers, our followers across the board, and people that we work with, our clients, they get frustrated because of the shenanigans that go out there. But this is rather interesting. So I thought I'd share this story with our with our viewers, so that they can, you know, see that, hey, it's not all bad. There is hope, and you just got to disassociate yourself from all the emotion, and not play, not get caught into that trap that the agents want you to get in, that emotional trap that they want you to get in, and be sober about it. And whoever bought this property bought it well, given the fact that they were expecting, you know, between 1.3 and 1.5.
Well, it's a big difference, 1.5 to 1.6, and, you know, 1.15, quite a big difference. But it's interesting, Edwin, because it's not the only time we see this, right? So there's a consistent pattern where effectively through the narrative of what a property might be worth, we often see people trying to push it up, push it down, mess around with the price, confuse everybody, and frankly make it very difficult to try and detect fair value. So I think your message is very clear, which is don't be misled, and you know, go to the low side rather than the high side.
Oh, look, exactly. And I like his the ending sentence to the last email. We are pleased to advise the home sold at auction for $1,157,500. Yeah, mate, the agent was pleased because the difference between that sale price and an extra couple of $100,000 or $150,000 for the vendor only means a few more $100 in by way of commission, or $1,000 or $1,500 by way of commission. So they don't give two rats. So that's what you look for, Martin. You look for agents that don't give two rats about their clients. Don't give two rats about the marketing strategy. You look for the ones that are just interested in lining their pockets and not really looking after their clients by being fair. Look, and it's karma, you know. It's karma. It comes back and it bites them in the ass. And I just hope that our followers and our viewers will, you know, get fall on the right side of the fence in these scenarios as they keep on pursuing it. Just don't give up. Stay hopeful. And we've got 6 weeks to go before the. Yeah, all the stimulus packages start falling away or change for others or whatever come what may. But I think the next 6 weeks is going to be interesting. And if you waited 6 months, 8 months, 12 months, in some cases, one of our clients has been waiting, you know, 18 months to buy a property that's just engaged us. Well, you know, what we said is sit back and unless they're going to accept the offers that we're making that you're prepared to pay. Waiting another 6 months to see what's going to happen. Is it a cliff? Is it a short? Is it just going to be a short drop? Is it going to be a lengthy drop? We don't know, because we don't know what sorts of things the government's going to throw at this at the property market. But you know, waiting another six weeks isn't going to hurt. So keep your eye on the numbers. They are a little bit lower than 2020 listing numbers on market in Sydney, but. I keep on saying, keep your eye on the numbers and wait and see. Just stay hopeful.
Absolutely, and it's just worth reflecting on the emotional element too. And maybe we'll go on to the Linfield example that you've got there, which shows effectively there is a bit of emotion in here too, right?
Look, there is, Martin, and this is what the selling agents and these auction campaigns are designed to do. Is to really focus on people's emotion. Now, if you look at this, this Linfield auction that I was at, I attended, I inspected it prior to the auction. I spoke to one agent that was there at the open house during a week before, and I got given the quote of 2.25. There was no way in hell that this property was going to be sold for 2.25. One of our clients, I said to him, if this sells for 2.5 or under, the market's well and truly cooked. It's all over Red Rover. Because even if you looked at the sales figures for the last quarter of 2020, for most of 2020 in this particular area, you break it all down to land value, land size. You know, the house, what type of house it is, the inclusions, pictures and fittings and inclusions, and has it been done up, does it need a renovation, so forth. And you make those assessments based on, which is what I call the numbers. You take away a lot of the emotion. And so Well, when I did a quick math on this particular property, it's a 1,300 square meter block of land. Obviously, the quote, the quoting, 2.25 as a guide, it was never going to go that low. As a matter of fact, one of our other followers on Twitter actually sent me a screenshot when it was off market sale, and the agent had told him that this property, this is probably around December, before it went on a proper marketing campaign. It went on at 2.5 to 2.75 was the off-market guide, which the off-market guide generally is still 10-15% below what they really want to achieve anyway. So when you add it all up and you break it all down and you dissect it, you look at, you start doing all your, all the math, all the current sales in the area, you start really breaking it apart. And look, it doesn't take a lot of rocket science to work out that this property was worth the 2.9 every day of the week. But this is the kicker, Martin, and this is what I want our viewers to understand, is that if the agent, I'm a strong believer that if the agent had guided this property at 2.5 to 2.75, as he was guiding on the off-market campaign, it could have gone above the 3 million with the emotion, because I do give emotion a little bit of tolerance. I mark it up anywhere between 5 and 10%. Now, I say that comfortably because not too far away from this listing, another property that was guiding 3.3 actually sold for 4 million. And on the same day, only half an hour before this one, and a little bit better position, a little bit better position. It had the structure was a little bit better and so forth. But the agency was guiding 3.3, and they achieved a sale of 4 million. The land size only about 100 square meters difference, Martin. Now, this is something else that obviously we find out in our investigations, and that is, as I was leaving the auction and I'm talking to the agent's assistants and everything, the agent that had this property listed on market, sold this property was aware of the sale of the other property, which was a smaller block of land, and was well aware that the other property he sold for to that particular owner for 2.7. This is 4 years ago the sale had occurred on the other property, and he was guiding 2.25 in this one, given the circumstance and given the FOMO that's out there and given the mainstream media narrative and everything else. So it stinks, it stunk, it's depravity. Everything that's bad about the industry was just encapsulated in this auction campaign, Martin. And it was dreadful. There were something like 15 registered bidders, but only three participated. And why did only three participate? Because only three were prepared to pay the real money and had done the research as to what it was really worth, and were prepared to go. To go all the way, and it actually sold for 2.9.
Mm. And that's really the important point, isn't it? That whilst you can have these shenanigans about underquoting and trying to get low wall bids in, there is actually a fundamental logic also to what property is actually worth. And yeah, you're right, there is a bit of emotion, and sometimes property goes for above what you might think is reasonable value, but actually there is a tendency for it to settle around where it should settle.
And as I said, it's just mathematics, it's just numbers. We're talking to agents in the area, talking to locals in the area, knowing the area. We know that there are pockets in that area that are worth $1,900 a square meter. Likewise, there are other pockets in the same suburb, depending on the topography, on the landscape, where the land's worth $2,300 a square meter. So when you multiply that by the land size, and then you add the intrinsic value of the property. That's on the, yes, it was an old house, but it was solid, a solid house, double brick house, needed a clean up, a spruce up, but it was a solid house, good floor plan, and everything else. So you could add to it quite comfortably, and you could have a 1300 square meter block of land with a double brick house, solid on in a great location, in a sought after suburb. So I personally think it should have gone for about 3.1, given the attendees there. But good luck to the person that bought it. But I don't see that it sold above what it should have gone for, because smaller properties, albeit renovated, but on blocks of land of about 700, 800, were selling in the area towards the end of last year, very close to the three. And I saw one that sold for 3.25 on 700 square meters. And I thought that was a bit of a dog. And you had a lot of work to be done in the basement area. There was a lot of issues that the house had. It was nicely renovated, but there was still a lot of structural issues. But it still sold for 3.2, and not far from this place, Martin.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, we won't mention the dog too loudly for fear of scaring the cat, right? But the point is this: if you actually have underquoting and you have prices effectively under advertised, right, that then allows the mainstream media portals to be able to say, see, another example of one being sold way over value, right? This must prove that the market is really buoyant and everything in the garden is wonderful, right? But if you start from the wrong basis, then the whole story just falls apart.
Look, of course, and this is where I come back to the basics. Anything. If I want to understand something, if I want to understand, things. Except women, Martin. Except women. I'm just putting it out there. I don't have.
There's no formula for that, I can tell you.
No, look, Martin. Growing up, I've got seven sisters, and grew up with seven girls, and I'm the only boy, so I could never understand their logic. But then again, they say the same thing about me. We won't go into
skating on thin ice. Yeah, we're skating on thin ice. Go careful.
exactly. Yeah. When you break it down to the basics, it's the basic fundamentals, and take a step back. It's numbers don't lie, and that's our second example. And this is why I said in the previous podcast that we did, I said get things in writing, I put this on a text message. I would otherwise do it on email or by other means. Even on letterhead when I make my offers and so forth. But this was so as I can share with our viewers, and they can see something of what I put out there, formal or informal. And this was by way of writing. I just thought it would be interesting. And this house, again, it's currently on the market. The guide. The guide was at 2.5. We had some interest on the property. Made an inquiry. The guide was taken off the portals. The actual 2.5 was taken off the portals. Then when I spoke to the agent, I asked her for the guide. I already knew what it was, but it was no longer advertised. I played dumb. And she said it was worth 2.3. So I said, well, look, if it's worth 2.3, I know you were guiding 2.5. Would your vendors be willing to accept 2.4? And our clients have got a little bit of wiggle room, and we can go up a little bit more if need be. She said no, not at this stage. But I've got it all in. I've got it all in writing to confirm the messages and so forth. Now. Again, with a little bit of research and also getting some more information from the agent, this property was bought 4 years ago for 2.3. When you add your stamp duty, right, rounded off to 100,000, a little bit over 100, but at rounded up to by 100,000. Now, the owners of the current owners of this property had also spent 300,000 renovating this home since they bought it. So obviously they're going to try and get the money back, you'd think. So that puts it at about 2.7. And that's a reasonable guide at 2.7. But why won't they guide it at 2.7? Because it takes away a bit of the emotional side of it, and a bit of people getting a bit excited thinking that they're going to think, the people that think that they could get it around the 2.5 will say, well, you know, it's only another 100,000 or a couple of 100,000 more, we can stretch ourselves, and that creates that hype and that emotion on the day. So the more that are present, obviously then things get a little bit more heated. And that's why they do it. But this is black and white, Martin. This is how our viewers can see the shenanigans that go on out there, and I'm calling them out.
Yeah, well, absolutely right for doing it, and it really does underscore. And look, I think the methodology that you've just articulated, which is, you know, start with the land size and, you know, apply an appropriate price per square meter, right? And then add a little bit for the property and add a little bit for the enthusiasm and hype, and you begin to get a sort of a sense of where the number should be, right? It actually is quite a good rule of thumb.
Yeah, look, it is. And Ash, he's one of our Twitter followers and followers of DFA. He made a point on over the weekend that a lot of this information with regards to land values are on Louis' website. If people want to chase Louis up for some information, I'm sure he's got piles and piles of great historical information with a lot of suburbs, because he's been doing this for a long time and he's been gathering a lot of the information. No different to the data that you have, Martin. And when you put it all together, you can be well equipped to go out there and challenge, challenge the narrative, challenge the auctioneers, challenge the selling agents and their guides, and start making a fuss. Look, I think that fair trading are going to get involved sooner than later, because I'm sure we're not the only ones that are making a lot of noise with regards to underquoting and the shenanigans that go on there. But the more people, what I'm saying is the more that you equip yourself with, the more information that you have, from the data that and information that you give, Martin, as well as the free data that Louis has on the Square Meter Research website, and other other data that you can gather from, even from the main portals, you can start putting it together, and you can start coming up with get a grasp and get a handle on where values really lay, and then as I said, then add 5-10% on top of that. If you get somebody that really wants it for other reasons than logic, and that's the emotive percentage that I always throw in there.
Absolutely. And I think that is exactly right. And of course, it's also worth underscoring that particularly in New South Wales, somewhat in Victoria, you can also get the value or general data for a particular area too. And that gives the definitive transfer information. And by the way, it also gives you the square footage, or the square meterage, I should say, of the property as well. So that is another useful source.
That's right. And then when you go through it, Martin, you'll see what's being renovated, and you can make, look, that's what I guess, I said to people, I do a lot of this off the top of my head, because I've been doing it for so long. But when you break it all down, and obviously that's what valuers do. To come up, their formulations are a lot more detailed and a lot more more detailed, more comprehensive than my rules of thumb. But they've got to do it in order to present reports to banks. Look, at the end of the day, I don't think if you're going to be paying these kind of dollars to acquire a property, spending for reports, spending for some of these reports that are available, and you can get some valuers that, if you're really keen on a property, something for another podcast. But I'm a believer like George, and you've had George on your show. We've been believers that that contracts of sale should be accompanied by a licensed valuer as well. But anyway, again, that's just another story for another day. And because it's interesting how banks won't give you a valuation unless you've got connections in the banks and unless your mortgage broker's got connections in the banks until you sign the contract. But you could be 5-10% over the odds, and they're taking that into account given all the you know, stimulus that's been thrown in, given the emotion that's out there at the moment, given everything else. You know, I'm sure as hell, you know, reassured on a weekly basis that valuers are being very conservative, and they're taking all this into account as well. So, but that's the whole irony, is that banks won't order a valuation for the property until you sign the contract. I mean, it's a quagmire. It's almost, you know, putting the horse before, the cart before the horse. It's really you could jeopardize a lot by jumping into these auctions unless you are 150% that you can stomp up an extra 5-10%, because the valuation may not come in.
Well, I've been doing some work recently for one of my clients, looking specifically at this question of the difference between the price as negotiated and the price as offered through the bank valuation with regard to the mortgages. And there's still quite a good examples around where effectively suddenly the buyer or prospective buyer is faced with a really big bill to make the difference up between what they thought they were going to get by way of that sort of pre-approved mortgage value and what the bank was actually prepared to lend once they actually saw the signed contract. And I agree with you, they are still relatively conservative, certainly compared with a couple of years ago. And this is definitely catching some people out, you know. So in some cases, people are unable to complete on properties that they've already moved through the first stage of contracting on. And that's a whole world of pain.
Well, that's right. So there are a couple of things you can do, obviously, to mitigate a greater loss, and that is get your solicitor to get the other side to accept a 5% deposit as opposed to a 10% deposit, and be the maximum that you could potentially lose if you fail. The higher the LVR that you're going to get from the loan to value ratio that you're going to get from the bank, or the higher amount of money that you're going to borrow in comparison to the value of the property, that's going to jeopardize more the value, or it's going to send more alarm bells ringing to the value. And like at the end of the day, the values have got to protect the professional indemnity insurance as well, and they're covered, because they don't really get a lot. Unfortunately, they don't really get a lot to do a valuation, and they've got to put it all on the line with regards to any comebacks with a wrong value that the banks may lose. Then you've got this mortgage insurances and so forth, and all these things. But at the end of the day, you're not protected. And if you want to protect your 5% or your 10% deposit, if you don't want to lose that after you can't get your finance, well then, like you said, Martin, you've got to stump up the difference, otherwise you're not going to get the loan.
Absolutely. Well, Edwin, once again, very valuable information. And, what I appreciate speaking with you is very much from the front line. It's, this is what's happening now, folks. And so I think the message again is to be cautious, invest time and effort to be able to research what's going on. Don't just take the high level number that's being thrown out there. There's a lot more behind the scenes and below the water. But if you make the right decisions, it can pay dividends, can't it?
That's right. And again, look for that. There are deals out there, Martin. There are deals to be made out there. And it may not be the area that you're keen on. It might be a little bit further away. In a lot of cases, with our clients, we're able to, take them a little bit, another suburb or two away from where their ideal properties, but they get more, you know, bigger bang for their buck, you know, when they go to a different location. So it means no difference in commuting to the workplace by shifting the focus a little bit. So there are a lot of things out there. And look, the landscape's changing, is the other thing. Obviously, with work from home scenarios, there's still a lot to play out. But for now, I just say to people, stay hopeful. I hope you enjoyed that first scenario that we shared, because I hope it puts a bit of a smile on your dial when you go through that email stream, because it's the stuff where, you know, somebody got a great deal because the selling agent basically stuffed up, and you know they're out there. And look, we've got 6 weeks to run to the end of this, all these stimulus packages being pulled back or rolled back, and you know, also insolvency moratorium will be up, and the bank holidays, the mortgage holidays are coming to an end as well somewhat. So it's a wait and see. And lastly, look, guys, there aren't a lot of transactions happening, and if I want to drive anything through today, if I want to really drive it home, and that is that there are 17,000 real estate agents, selling real estate agents, of which about 14,000-15,000 work in the Sydney region, that are out there, that unless they list, they don't eat, because there aren't a lot of transactions. So they've got to list property in order to survive. And a lot of the agents are on JobKeeper, and if they don't get the listings, guess what? They're going to be turfed as well. Unfortunately, is one of the industries that is going to be absolutely hammered, Martin. Absolutely hammered. And you know what, Martin? The industry, the real estate industry, the agents themselves, they have investment property. So that is why I'm playing it calm. I have to remind myself of these figures as well, because numbers don't lie. Selling agents in the mainstream do, but numbers don't lie.
Great message, Edwin. Thank you very much for that. And we'll do it again next week.
Certainly. And we'll see. We'll see what, keep an eye on Dusty's and Evan's Twitter profile. They're going to be vicious, they tell me. The little tigers, they are going to be ripping things apart. I don't know what they're going to do, Martin, but they're going to be vicious. That's all I know.
Well, I don't know where they would possibly get that from. So we'll wait and see. Thank you very much. See you soon.
All the best, Martin.
Cheers. Bye-bye.